whole was work done by Michelle Hendry, who was the clerk for us at the time. I don't have firsthand knowledge of that. I've seen the document. Can I prove that it was her or somebody else? No, but I don't know that that's significant. The content is there.
Well, again, I guess is that you're just saying one person came up with this. Maybe it was other people as well. So I'm just wondering what figures were recommended by other people that were part of this process.
Well, I think in a large part, and this is referred to in Jennifer Bigger's letter, which I do all have here as well. I got too many pieces of paper, but and at the moment I just had it a second ago. I don't have it, but come on, I had it here a minute ago. It refers to O-Reg 239, and so does Tatum refer to that. And basically, they're saying that you know that these are not. There is no road standard for a Class 6 road, which the vast majority of our roads are. Right. In other words, there is provincial standards like O-Regs that cover Class 5 and what Class 1 through Class 5. We only have 5 and 6 in the township in any event. But and we're referring to that when it has no force. It does not apply to municipal roads.
No, I don't want to interrupt here, but you're saying there are no standards. Where did they come up with their standards?
I don't know that I could answer that question, but they have. It's in the roads needs.
So ultimately, then it's a council decision on what standards we want going forward.
I agree.
And I mentioned before, if we look at these roads, and they even mentioned it in the deputations tonight, the committee of the whole, we want future roads that can accommodate future development, bigger vehicles, etc. And obviously that'll be a township responsibility. All ratepayers paying for that once it's assumed.
Yeah.
So why can't we not, as we did with subdivisions, make sure that the developers, or in this case, the people who actually use that road, that's the unassumed road at this point, and they're willing to put up the cost, etc., but that it be a quality road that's going to stand.
Sure.
Then we won't have things like Island View Drive that exists, and Kirk Avenue and Elizabeth Avenue that are just grass roads.
From what I know of the history of the Bailey's Roads, I mean, that was a developer that did that, and the subdivision agreement, this is again anecdotal, but the subdivision agreement was never actually executed, and they basically just walked away at the end. I know lots of you have a lot more experience on council than me. I've been told that by a number of people. I believe that's probably true. I think the difference, at least for if we're going to talk about Deerfield and 152, I don't know those roads really well, but I don't think there's going to be much further development on those two roads. But if we're talking about others, I agree with your assessment. We have to make sure that the roads meet a standard to allow for maybe not expansion, but more traffic, I think, is probably the best way of saying it. In other words, that there would be new homes added on the roads because there's space that permits. And again, I don't know either Deerfield or 152 roads really well. But I don't believe that's the case. It's not like suddenly they're going to extend the road, and I know the official plan doesn't allow that by more than 180 meters, I think is right, and things like that. So there is roads in that group that we should look at it very carefully that way. I have no problem. I do have, again, anecdotally, people telling me about homes that have been built here in the last 2 years that definitely don't meet a standard. They're basically a cottage road. And everything else, and they extend out more than a kilometer from the arterial road being Hurdville Road in the one case. But
what I'm just looking at is future development. You're getting larger and larger buildings as well.
Yeah.
We're getting bigger equipment, fire vehicles, everything that has to travel on those roads.
Yeah.
And you don't want a situation, certainly, as I said before, I won't be passing it along that we have a substandard road that doesn't meet future requirements.
Sure.
Except that it's now assumed by the township and all ratepayers are responsible.
I think that's a factor certainly that we could look at for any, even Deerfield and so on, that we could look at to make sure that we don't perceive that that's going to be a problem. But on the basis that I don't think there's much vacant land, and again, that's just purely anecdotal. I have not done any study or walked the road or anything like that. But if we believe that's a concern, then we should have that as a condition that we look at to make sure that it does meet the standard for future growth on the same road.
Well, one of the big problems you run into with these older roads and older subdivisions is the foundation, the base that you put this on. And if you just start throwing gravel on top, that's really not going to resolve it. The bottom's going to wash away at some point, and then you're stuck.
I've got firsthand experience with that on my roads. But
then you've got a situation where everybody's paying for it, and it should have been brought up to a standard to begin with.
Sure.
So that's what I just want to avoid, as I said, future ratepayers, I guess. And we had select people here tonight, certainly.
Sure.
And as I say, you would have a large number. It even came out of the recommendations here tonight that you may have a number of people coming forward after this. opposite, that why am I paying for this on an unassumed road? Shouldn't they pay the shot? And I think they were agreeing, certainly on Deerfield, that they would pay the costs. But it's just a matter of how we arrive at those costs and what the costs are going to be. And as far as the contractors, I mean, you're certainly running contractors down, and I hope none of them listen to this, because it's certainly not conducive to getting contractors in the future. All of our subdivisions were put in by contractors, not the township. And they were inspected and approved over time. And some you had to go back, yes, and make improvements before you assumed. There was a year waiting period. And we gradually upgraded the requirements for the subdivisions, what they had to put in. And some had to change the contractors, that's true. But eventually, it was all done properly. And as I said, it was initially inspected by MTO engineers, and then it was turned over to the township. And we hired out then professional engineers, civil engineers, to investigate the road and the bridges and everything else, because we're not the experts. And so we just want a situation, I think, we're trying to arrive at the same goal. But we want to make sure that everybody is being treated fairly in the whole township, and that we have quality roads when we're done, before they're assumed. Because once they're assumed, and he said he wasn't looking for pavement there tonight, but you know yourself, once something is assumed, then the foot's in the door, and why aren't you repairing my road? We're getting that all the time.
Sure.
Everybody.
But I go back to, I mean, what I said earlier during the committee of the whole, is that the work that was done on the 10 roads in Bailey's and Craigmore, the evidence is that the work that was done was first rate. It was a good quality. It remains good quality to this day without further repairs, and you can talk about repairs, but further material work on the road, and it's in good shape now. I'm no engineer, but I would have to believe that we are very unlikely to get an engineer to say anything bad about it, but if they did, we'd simply fix it. I mean, that's my opinion.
Well, the one thing we wanted to make
sure... And
it's
cost-effective. That's the big thing. Greg's costs actually decreased per user, per owner, from the first estimate to the second estimate, which also shows it's cost-effective, and it's actually effective in producing a much better quality road that exists to this day. Right? And frankly, I have no issue whatsoever of getting engineers involved at the right stages, including doing a final inspection and that type of thing. That absolutely makes perfect sense to me. But we've got a world-class model. This is an extremely successful program that has been executed. It evolved and continues to evolve as we go forward. And it wasn't... The statement I'll make is I don't think that the program was well-defined at the outset. I think there was ideas on what to do. And I think, again, anecdotally, I hear things that, you know, this was agreed and that was agreed. It isn't written down. And should it be? Of course it should be. And again, once we have a policy of what it is we're trying to do, should we get it vetted by a lawyer and everything else? For sure. But I don't think we should ask a lawyer to write it for us. I don't think they can. Because what standards are we talking about, and how do we want to do it? And we can share our work papers and things like that. But, I mean, I think we should come up with a policy or an upgrade slash assumption process that we agree to first, and then let a lawyer have a crack at it, rather than doing it the other way around, because I don't think they know.
Well, I'm sorry. They are the professionals with these agreements.
Agreement, yes, but the gist of the agreement, the inherent...
I'm just wondering clear what the agreement is going to say. It's actually going to write out. And if you read the subdivision agreements, it does talk about the parties, it does talk about what they're to do by certain periods of time and the cost. It's all in there.
Okay.
And so, yes, there'll be input, and I suggested tonight that even they could have input into the agreement that's drawn up by the solicitor. And yes, they'll need some input from council and from the repair groups and from the road.
It's fair to say the partnership would work well in terms of getting that to
a problem with that, but it's a matter of getting it off the ground. And you can see the proposal we had here tonight is all one-sided, and it's exactly what was done before. And you can bring forward, as I said, all the different subdivision agreements and how they were done, which is a different approach altogether. And so the solicitor...
When was the last subdivision agreement?
Well, I'm just saying, with subdivisions, you have to keep in mind that we've run out of property, and that people are not going that route anymore, and they can get more severances now instead of subdivisions in some cases than they used to. So the last one probably was, I don't know, Rain's Way is relatively new, and I know that's been in a while. Martha Drive, and maybe Councillor Haskins, those of some others.
Probably Wendy's Lane.
Wendy's Lane.
Yeah, and they're all been in for around 30 years.
Yeah, well, certainly, it's
maybe the word recent is wrong, but
yeah.
I thought
it's difficult, but I'm saying those are tried and true. And it's the same sort of thing when they first started out. we had solicitors draw up the agreement.
Okay.
And I'm just saying they have the experience and they will seek input, yes. And you notice the various things that have come to us in property right now. The solicitor doesn't always tear them all apart, but they're involved at the beginning, whether it be the landowner solicitor or whether it be the township solicitor,
sure.
and making suggestions, and even through our fire department agreement. And I just think they have to be involved at the start to give us some sense of where we go from here.
Sure.
And that makes it more objective, especially if they can have input as well into what the clauses are going to say. But that gives they won't be in a situation where you're asking ratepayers, well, what width of road do you want?
Yeah, no.
I mean, you can't do that, and yet that was on the ballot.
I know.
And so that to me, there have to be standards there that say this is our standard, this is our minimum,
sure.
which we've had for forever for new roads,
sure.
and they can apply it to upgrading, and we have to see if those standards are met, rather than asking them.
No.
I mean, sure, they would go with the minimum because it costs less.
I think that was an obvious mistake.
Are we being responsible
looking
forward for the development of the township by accepting substandard?
But we also stuck to 6 meters for Bailey's and Craigmore. And that's my genuine belief that all the areas, if not 100%, but all of the roads met that standard. Right? Especially gravel roads and everything else. And there's lots of discussion in this about Class 6 roads and whether or not it's 6 meters plus a half meter on either side, in other
right.
words 7 meters, or whether the 6 meters is sufficient. And again, when they get talking about our existing roads, they come right out and say there is no widening required, period, unequivocally, 4 times, maybe 5 times in that document.
Tatum.
Thank
you.
All right, but our engineers, the engineers that gave us the roads need study, I'll just
right.
say that, but and I didn't have a hand in selecting them or anything, nor I don't think it would be appropriate even if I did. I don't know anything about engineers.
Well, I'll say it. Back to we're just going circular here, but
can I just say one other thing? One of the other
things here talked about the 6 plus the 0.5 either side, so it's 7,
yeah.
and then 8 for a higher speed road, yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One last thing, I mean, that I'm aware of is because of some, at least minor association with firefighters who are friends of mine, is that it seems to me that those guys have a great deal of knowledge of difficult situations on roads, because when they're responding to a call to try and take a fire engine down some roads, including in some cases private roads, so I'm not suggesting we would upgrade them for that purpose, but I think that's a real source of information that would be helpful to us in deciding about, you know, any standards, but in particular, you know, how do we affect our standards so that we deal with those issues so we don't get into situations. The understanding that I have from a conversation today is simply put that there was no way to get around the fire truck on the road in question for ambulances and fire or police and everything else. Neither could they easily back out because of the grade and or the curves of the road. So it seems to me that's a source of information that would be very valuable to this council in terms of our policy as well as our practice. So
you're suggesting our standard should be higher?
If that's what's required, yes, I have.
Okay.
I mean,
no, that's good to hear.
Yeah. I will say to you that I think the first statement that you have in this resolution about, you know, desirous of upgrading all municipally owned unassumed road with the ultimate goal of assumption in this term of council, that's I wrote this out and said that's a moonshot, and that's the real truth, is that is such an inspirational and aspirational goal, and I think that is a very brave and very simply an outstanding part of the resolution. I love it. Right, I would agree with that. I'm a little worried that we could accommodate that. By my count, we have 8 roads that are unassumed, including Deerfield and so on, in the unassumed road bucket. And I have a list here.
I need the list because I don't count 8. So.
I have it here. I thought this would come up, and I spent a lot of time reading all these
and
things.
I would hope I've come up there tonight too that Fiber 300 isn't one of them, because
no, it's not.
A private
it's not.
Road.
No, that's private road. So I'm not including that at all. So here we go. Here. This is a road.
No, you just read them out, sir.
Okay. Well, I mean, it comes from the roads list that was produced, or at least given to me by Reg. Which is a combination of my understanding of the roads list that's in the roads needs study. It's the same format, but the roads needs study only mentions municipally owned roads, right? Not unassumed, not private. This one lists all of them, at least to my knowledge. So the 8 of them are Bay and Deerfield, 152
okay.
plus...
Okay, I count those as one, but...
Okay,
I know what you're doing.
Okay, and then Dancy.
No, Dancy's private. Dancy is not a municipal.
Not according to this list, it's
not an unassumed road. It's a private road, I was there when it was put in.
Okay. McCowan? I had to look up.
That's a questionable one on the history. We've always taken it as an unassumed. If you talk to some owners up there, they'll say that the township doesn't even own it. So that's a questionable one, and I know we plow a certain way in past some people there. But
and Moffett.
And Moffett, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you can say 152 is one road, and I understand. But, I mean, relative to our discussion, our earlier discussion today.
I think it could be done. No, yeah. It's just because we've run into this years ago, what we were trying to do even then. But it came back to the ratepayers in that area and willing to come up with the money and agree to the procedure. And now we have a group, I think, that's willing to go along with it. And we're in a situation now, too, because of the transition of council, that previous council and through staff, we have to investigate all the promises that were made. And I was told tonight that they weren't promises, that they were actual agreements. So I have to see all that, but it's rather nebulous. And we have to make sure that, as Councillor Zulak said, I guess some of the things that were agreed upon are actually followed through on. Then we can't go with the new policy necessarily, but now we have the policy in place. We have a procedure. The last line says this be a template going ahead, because we still have Moffett 152, certainly.
Sure. No,
and we still need, although I don't know what we do, you know, in hindsight here with Craigmore, because, and the same with Bailey, is they're not going to meet the standards necessarily of the new policy. Now, Greg can maybe help us with those, whether they would meet the standards of the policy, I don't know. But whether they're accountable, held accountable to the new standards, because that bylaw came into place after, I think, they were done at the end of September. So.
I can't see any changes.
No.
No, like as far as the standard goes, the procedure is different.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they would meet the standards of the policy.
They would meet the standard of the policies, just the procedures.
So,
can be a little
as policy is written, it's not the policy, the changes that Tatum suggesting, it meets the policy that is now on record for the township.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. That makes our job much easier.
Yeah.
If
I could ask Greg also, so there's been some figures thrown out to Deerfield. Those figures that would bring it up to the standard that's in this in our bylaw then?
6.5 meters.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So 6 meters is the 6 meters is the provincial minimum for fire and ambulance. So I built the road 6.5 to be above that minimum.
Does that include shoulders or the?
With a gravel road, it's shoulder to shoulder.
Okay.
If you talk surface treatment,
right,
you have to add your
right
shoulders. So if we were to build these roads to surface treatment, they'd need an extra half a meter down each side.
So the question is in all of this, and I'm not saying that that's ever going to happen with these roads, but you know, as time goes on and as people move in and expect these things, should we not prepare our roads so that it can accommodate surface treatment? Why wait until later and then decide, oh, substandard now, we can't put a top on that because it doesn't meet the requirements. Why can't we prepare beforehand, be a little proactive while we're doing it? Then we don't have subdivisions like Bailey Subdivision and Craigmore that don't meet the standards.
It meets the standard.
Well, I know, but if you want to go ahead and improve, then it's all in the township.
Why wouldn't you go all the way? Because I think because they started out at whatever, 4 or 5 meter road, and to go all the way to an 8 meter road, three times as much money.
Oh, I realize that. But I'm just
so
saying,
I think that's
our due diligence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're just pushing us on to future homeowners and also to future councils to deal with. Because you know, as things are going to happen, things are going to get people move in there and they're going to expect more services.
So moving forward, if you decided to high float these ropes at the minimum, why not? What's saying you can't? You can high float from shoulder to shoulder. I mean, you still have the same width rope. It's just as a standard, the reason they you can paint lines down your shoulder to create a shoulder. So there's other ways of getting around this. You still have the same width. It can be a high float road, but you have to create your shoulders. Now you're down to a 6 meter road. They want those shoulders so they don't break off.
Right.
That's what happens. No, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You have to have the shoulders so it doesn't
deteriorate.
You can paint those lines on these roads and create your shoulder, then you're down to a 6 meter road technically, which is still legal. So, don't forget, these roads are 20 kilometer an hour roads.
We talked about that before. They posted themselves on these unassumed roads. They're not legal signs, they just put the signs.
Oh, no, but our standard says they're 20 kilometer an hour.
I know it's saying that, but do we have such a speed limit? We were told by previous clerks that you can't go that low. So I just need clarification. We were looking at a 30 as a minimum sort of thing. So you're saying now we can go down to 10 and 20?
Taylor says we can.
Well, okay. I'm just interested to know because that's new information for me.
And certainly, even when I was on the ad hoc road committee, which was, I think, 2019, if I'm right, sorry. When I was on the ad hoc committee in 2019, that was always the discussion. I took it as a matter of fact that we did have such a limit and that those limits were assigned to, you know, there was not nearly the depth of analysis done in the roads need study, but for the roads we were talking about, that's what I understood the township standard to be. Did I have that in proof? No, but and I live on a road that has, I believe, a 20-kilometer-hour standard. There's no sign that says it, but and other discussions that I've had with you, Greg, over time, is that it's at least commonly accepted. Whether or not it's enforceable or valid, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so. But I do believe that that's what people think the speed limit is on those roads. So, I don't think that I've ever seen, other than like Herdville and Center, a speed limit sign, and I'm not even sure about how many I've seen on those roads. I'm sure you would know better.
Well, they're all a slight, in our own municipality, there's a slight different standard for each one of those roads.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Center Road 60, Balsam 50, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Carly and I are working on speed limits going forward, so those things are going to change.
But does that require a specific bylaw for
speed limits? Oh, yeah, everything.
Okay. And we don't have bylaws in place at the moment, or at least...
For speed?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Every one of those black and white signs, speed limit signs, will have a bylaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, in part, the more you... This is my experience with trails as well, like ATV trails. The better quality of the road is, the faster people will drive, and almost to an unlimited basis. And on trails that we had, we would find people doing 100 kilometers an hour on a road or a trail that there's no way any right-minded person would do more than 20 or 30. So, and then they get into accidents and all the rest because the better you make it, the faster people drive. And I think that's just human nature, right? The smoother, the flatter, the straighter, the faster people are going to go. So,
no, that's good to hear. The 20 kilometers and if that could be done on those roads,
yeah.
And enforceable.
And
it's
just a piece of...
I was going to enforce it, but anyway.
Well, it comes down to a bylaw.
Right.
Council adopts the standard. Council adopts the speed limit. It's enforceable.
Oh, yes, but... And I'm not talking in our situation, that's all.
No, yeah. I know, yeah.
In this roads list that I referred to earlier, there is a column for speed limits, sorry. But again... I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's valid. I certainly don't know if there's a bylaw that supports it. But it is on this list. And again, I received this from Reg. I don't imagine that he actually did like the typing and created the spreadsheet or anything else.
I think Roshan had part of the road inventory, did he not? Didn't you take it from some... I thought you were involved in doing something that was sent as
a
study.
Yeah, that was the last year when we hired assets management firm to asset to look at our core assets, and then we went to I and Greg. We went through our assets whatever assets we have through the inventory, and then that's where we gave the names to the engineering company, and that's where I think when we looked at our assets now to the inventory, it seems like our assets is more because we included the trial roads on those assets. So now, when they do the audit, last year audit, they are going to finish it, they are going to adjust those assets amount because obviously our assets are higher, we included the prime roads.
Right, yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Although in the appendices in the Tatum document, to the best of my knowledge, and it's easy to think that there is one appendices and goes on for a whole bunch of pages. The simple truth is there are a multitude of spreadsheets in here.
Yeah.
And in working it backwards, I'm now aware that every one of those spreadsheets serves a unique mathematical process to help them figure out like what our, well, they don't refer to the asset management plan because it wasn't in existence at that point, but in terms of their expected spend for our roads, every one of those spreadsheets is unique and deals with that. And they have some information in there that I don't know where it comes from. And most concerning, the biggest thing they have is a lot of the factors in this document are based upon the average daily traffic volume or something like that. And it says it was last done in 1988, which is really, and I can't imagine how much work would be involved in doing this. I mean, I imagine that it's a huge amount of work to figure out the traffic volume.
Nowadays?
No.
I've got it sitting in the garage because that's nothing.
One of those things you drive over and what do you call it? Yeah.
It's on my speed signs.
How many do we have?
Two signs.
Okay. Okay, so, but I mean.
You know the electronic signs?
Yeah, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about there, but you wouldn't propose, I mean, just deploying that across the, I know the report tells me how many roads there are, I'm not sure I buy that number either. But.
So on grants and stuff, MTO, like, or not MTO, but the provincial government generally asks for a traffic count, so Herdville Bridge,
okay,
stuff like that.
But I mean, you wouldn't take it out to every road on the list here or something like that?
No.
I don't know.
There's a mathematical formula for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, when you complete the or submit the application for the gas tax, they ask you a specific question if you are completing a road or construction of a road. They want to know the outcome of the road. You know, how many vehicles on the road,
right.
And you know what kind of the signage you guys used it. So pretty much, they want to know how where we spent and what kind of road we did.
The other problem in the roads needs study, for the record, and I acknowledge it's not, no document is ever perfect, but one of the problems is that they projected, this was written before the 2021 census was released, and they projected a 1% growth from the previous census, and we know we had 27.7%, which is really indicative of some fundamental errors in the math that drives what roads need what work and what dollars. And all the rest. And I don't blame them for it. They couldn't possibly know that. And I think if they'd asked people at this table, we would have thought, 1 or 2% would have been fine. But to find out that it was like 27 times that, yeah, that's significant, right? And so, I mean, I don't know. Greg, how often have we ever had anything like this? I mean, or requested anything like this report?
I think the last one was probably, is that road need study?
Yes, sorry, this is 2021 one.
'88
Yeah.
Really? Which might explain the traffic volumes done at that time then. Okay, that makes some sense. But I mean, I don't know. And what was the cost of this report? Do we know? Ballpark?
I don't know if you were. Was that before your time?
No. I don't know. Well, around, I think, 30.
That's what
I thought. Yeah, that sounds.
Okay. So, I mean, I know it's a significant cost, but it would be worthwhile to get. And again, whatever engineer the council wants to use, I'm not here to say who that should be, but I mean, to get it refreshed to reflect some of the data that's just missing. And certainly for the major roads, the main roads, whatever designation we want to give them, it would be worthwhile to do a traffic study to do it. And if it's not that onerous, I thought it would be like, what do you call the line that runs across the road that does the number count?
A year ago, it would have been that way.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, though, I've got it in these signs, I can use them. You're just going to pay a fee, but
okay. But and it's up to, we don't need MTO because all of our roads are municipal roads, so it's just a your decision or a council decision, yeah?
My decision or council,
okay.
If you want.
Yeah. Okay. But it would seem to be...
Preferably councils.
If we have a look at the traffic volumes that are projected, if we think they're wrong and updating them, especially if we've grown by 28% for the sake of argument, we probably should pick some roads that we want new volumes for, so...
Well... I think moving forward, if we can get some more grant money coming for these main roads,
yeah,
that's a smart idea.
Like Herdville and Center as an
yep.
example, and Balsam and others, yeah?
Well, Herdville and Center,
okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good to know. Listen, here, my point isn't to try and certainly not to defeat this resolution. Like I said, I love the opening statement. I think that's the most valuable goal that we could announce for any of these things. I would just like to be able to have a special meeting, maybe more than one, that just dealt with roads issues. We could have members of the public here, I think, that have some insight into it. I mean, as we saw today, if there was 30 people here, and I don't know if there was, but, well, we said we had 34 seats, so I guess we did, but anyhow. But, I mean, I don't, if we wanted to, we could, you know, designate, you have to be a representative that meets a criteria X to come and talk to us about it, and without being limiting about it, but it means simply to you know, boil it down to something that's manageable and work collaboratively with and if I want to use that Dave's word, is a partnership, I think that's a great thing to do. I think it would also be helpful for this council, frankly. We consistently demonstrate ignorance of what was done in Bailey's. I have spent a great deal of time gathering documents. I don't believe for a second I heard about two or three other documents tonight that I've never heard of before. But if I went through even with what I have and showed council all the things that I do have, including that letter that, what was his name again now? Jarrett, brought up. I mean, I had seen that letter and I wrote down that it was received in Bailey's on May the 22nd.
Well, it should be certainly on file here somewhere.
Yeah.
So we can investigate that.
And I'm not critical of any of those things. It's just simply a case that from their point of view, I think it's fair to say that they felt they were promised something or have been promised something, and it's just—it's not only that it isn't here yet; it's only May the 2nd. But you know that we're trying to defer it or delay it or whatever. And I don't think that's the goal, and that's why I said so to Gary. I said, you know, yeah, we said May. We didn't say May the 2nd or May the 1st. So, you know, can we simply find the path to go through to get this done? And I would imagine the linchpin of the whole thing would be doing another engineering inspection or whatever words you want me to use, and I don't know how much lead time that's involved in doing that, but
well, going forward that can be looked into. Right now we have a resolution.
Okay,
on the table.
Okay. In any event, my point is simply to defer the resolution, have a discussion with members of the public that represent roads, and work forward in terms of what we need to, and to have a look at both the Tatum report about the roads policy and the Russell Christie report about that, and to at least examine them and decide if we want to update the policy. That's my point.
Well, that's another, yeah. My going forward with this, as I say, what precipitated all this is the time element.
Okay.
And as mentioned already by Councillor Zulak, I think this speeds up the process. What you're suggesting, we're not going to accommodate the first clause that you like so much if we go through all of these different steps. And I've argued that the legal agreement that's drawn up would ask for the input from the different people who are going to be signatories to that. That makes all kinds of sense to me, and I don't understand what the holdup is on this particular procedure. To me, it makes all kinds of sense. They were asking for a figure, so we get a figure from Greg that's backed up, whether they agree with it or disagree with an engineer, which we did before with Deerfield and Bay. Now, that's over a decade old, so we can't go by that.
Sure.
But that's exactly what our previous, well, one of the earlier road supers, I don't know how long ago, used those figures then that were arrived at and based the potential cost of upgrading other roads, including the one that you're living on. And so that was all looked at in the past, and I'm just saying this is a procedure that should work moving forward. We won't be in a situation like we are with Craigmore, and I just can't understand, especially if they can have some input into the agreement, why you would even want to defer and hold up this process. Because what we're going to get, we didn't have it tonight, but the potential for other people coming forward that they just alluded to tonight, holding up the process even more. And then we have to make a decision which side we're going to be listening to here. And to me, this gets the process going. And as Councillor Zulak said, a lot of these things, we turn to the experts who have the experience, who can draw up these agreements and put out the RFP. Then we get an exact figure. I mean, we're finding that with our RFPs as well, that we come up with a figure what we think it's going to be worth. I mean, a good example is the Recreation and Cultural Center. And I think there's going to be a bit of a shock when that RFP comes in. But anyway, we've run into that ourselves, and we've had to defer different possible upgradings and things we want to do, renovations, because of the cost. And so what I'm saying is we get this all prepared, but at least we know then what is the market value for what we're trying to do here. Now, yes, if you want to put all the township equipment on it, like it did in the past, I have some concerns with that. We were fortunate that there were no breakdowns, I guess, or maybe there were, I don't know. But you're always running the risk there. And then if you have to do your major roads, and I'm not sure of Greg's job, you know, what's involved, but I would think there's enough to do, but you mentioned, you questioned the number of roads that are in the report, and the number of hundreds of kilometers, is over 100, I'm sure that we have. I'm sure there's a lot to keep the road crew growing, besides taking on another job like this, and then you are committed to it. And then in some one of the jobs, I think you had to bring in a contractor anyway, right, to help with Bailey's? I don't know for what part of it, but I understand it was in there.
Craigmore.
Oh, was it Craigmore, was it?
From blasting.
Okay. So I'm just saying this gets the ball rolling, gets it all going, and they'll still be partners and be involved in this. The process is not finalized by any means. It just gives some structure to it.
Let me ask a question then. If you use, in the middle, points in the resolution are not numbered, but I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth one?
Usually not numbered.
I know, I get that, but it makes it hard to refer to in a meeting like this, where we say, whereas council at its sole discretion to make an exception to the policy described within Schedule A, wishes to offer a hybrid solution to a cost-sharing option. If you include that we can make an exception to the policy, I like that part too. That gives us flexibility to deal with whatever, because again, if we're solely going to refer to Schedule A in Bylaw 2022-24, the simple fact is there are things in that document, in the Schedule A and in the policy proper, that are just not correct and not factually right. They're wrong, right? They refer to a standard that does not exist.
Okay, well, we've been through that.
Okay, but all I'm saying is if that last statement, the fifth statement that's made,
well, I have no problem with taking that right out then, because really it's not an exception to the policy, to be honest. When you look at it, it does say that there are two options for the cost sharing. It includes two options, and the word include itself suggests that there are other options. Usually you put in include but not limited to. I'm just saying, usually you put in include but not limited to.
Agreed.
So
okay.
Include,
yeah, no problem,
would suggest
that
there are other options to go with.
Yeah.
So I don't even mind if you want to take out that whole thing.
Actually, I know, I like that, because it's basically, my interpretation of that statement is that we aren't stuck with you know, a defined,
right.
If we're going to talk about 6 versus 6.5, that council at its discretion may make a change to that. I like that statement, don't get me wrong. When I read this, it's presumption that we would use an outside contractor. And that's, you know, just my opinion, and it doesn't come out and say that explicitly, of course. And again, as long as that other statement about, you know, the council making an exception, if that covers all of the facets of this resolution, I'm okay with that, right?
The whole idea of the outside, I'll give you some reasons why.
Yeah.
What we've been provided with tonight is all one-sided, obviously, why it should be township staff. And I've just given the example of all the subdivisions that were never done by township staff.
Okay.
Now, I realize there's a difference between putting in a new subdivision,
sure,
and upgrading roads that exist.
Sure.
I'm just saying that you probably can use staff more efficiently on projects that need to be done on a regular basis, our regular roads, the ones that we are already assumed, and other projects that we're going to do with this field out here, for instance, and different things. And not to be tied up with something like that would take all summer, for instance. Now, I realize there's going to be a difference in cost with contractors coming in, but who knows? Some of them might be hungry for money, I'm not sure. That's being hopeful, but that's why you go out to a number. You don't just accept one. You don't sole source it. You put it out there to see. And that gives you a better estimate. And if it comes in, you know, you're talking rather than the, what did you come up with at one point? 200?
195.
Yeah, 200,000.
Yeah.
If you come in at something over a million, then obviously we have to rethink the whole process.
Sure.
But that gives you an idea of what the fair market value of what they're going to be asking to do this. And they take on all the liability then. I don't like the situation where we use township equipment and they're sitting right here too and saying it's a township maintenance center for the 2-year maintenance period. That doesn't make any sense to me. To have the township maintain, I mean, it's not even, it's an unassumed road which we don't maintain, and suddenly we're starting to maintain it. I think Greg made the point, that's why it's not maintaining it right now, because it hasn't been assumed. And I think we're breaking our own policy if we start to maintain it for that 2-year break-in period. Now, there's nothing to say that even that 2-year period has to stay in place. I mean, that's something that's in the policy, but that can be amended. With new subdivisions, it was always 1 year. But a lot of that, too, as we upgraded, it was hard surfacing, and they were required to repair any deficiencies over that 1-year break-in period. But the way this reads now, what they're suggesting is that the township be responsible for repairing some of those deficiencies. They said they would pay the cost, but if we don't have a legal agreement saying that, then you know, who pays? Like Creighmore, for instance, who's paid? I don't know. So this just gets the ball rolling, I think.
I can support that. I really can. And again, the first statement is an amazing statement to make. It really is. That's just incredible. Having said that, I mean, we haven't had any deficiencies on Bailey's, at least that I'm aware of, and nor do I know. I don't really have any connection to Creighmore, but and you haven't done anything on either of those, have you? The only other thing I'll say to this is that my opinion is that while Greg's work was done properly, as evidenced by the fact that we haven't had to do deal with deficiencies, and it's done cost effectively, which is maybe even the biggest factor for the owners on that road, is that the costs were manageable. Again, doing the Bailey's roads, and I don't know what the collective distance of those roads is. I have looked it up in the past, but for $90,000, $91,000 is absolutely remarkable. I had some roads work done on my own property and everything else, and I paid a hell of a lot more than $3,503 to do far less of a distance because it's a private contractor. Private contractors have a motivation to make a profit. I don't object to that. I think it's valid. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if it cost... like I paid $3,700 to do probably 150 meters on the laneway that it goes up past Adam's house. Mike knows that road and everything else to do that. And if we extrapolate that out to cover the Bailey's roads, that would end up being five times what the $91,000 is approximately. I did do that math at home. I don't have it with me, but that's the point. It's just that I think we need to be conscious of the cost factor to the owners of the road so that they can support it. I think in some cases there would undoubtedly be a tipping point where the majority of people say, no, I don't want to do it if it's going to cost me $10,000. And that's a made-up number, a made-up example, but I'm just saying that we do need to be aware of that. And on the basis that Greg has done this so well, and honestly, this is an extremely successful model of doing it, and I take no credit for it. I had nothing to do with it. I think, Greg, you had more to do with it than perhaps anybody in certain in terms of organizing the work, getting it done, and managing the costs. And then to go from saying it's going to cost you, I think it's 36, 38, doesn't matter what it was, and then come back later and it's less. I mean, it's very unusual in my experience with contractors that the cost ever goes down, ever. It always goes up in lots of cases materially. That's my point. So the fact is, if the capacity exists and Greg can do it, I think that should be our preference in all cases, right?
When everybody is paid,
yeah,
and when the engineer gets the stamp of approval, then I will agree with your word successful.
Okay.
Councilor Haskin.
Nick mentioned, I believe, by the conversations going on that with this resolution that it would work would have to be contracted out, that our road staff would not be doing the work? Is that
right.
What this is saying? Where in here is that actually indicating?
I've lost page 2, by the way. I can't find it.
Part C. Be it further be it resolved that township prepare, let, receive, and otherwise administer the requisite tender documents, including potential approval of a tender.
Okay.
Just like putting out a tender like you do it at our...
Last page.
Yeah, I don't really take that as saying that. I just think this resolution still allows that possibility of it happening.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
What that does is give us a closer market value figure, is what I'd say. And if you're in a situation where you say the township can do it a lot cheaper, we have to look at, too, what's not being done when they're working on that. So those are all discussions we have to have. And I'm not sure Greg's work schedule, what's required this year. We are planning too for years down the road. I don't know whether Roshan talked to you about it. We're going to be preparing a 3-4 year budget. The road, what we're putting out from the budget this year, we have to slot it into future years and come up with some plan, like an asset management plan. Go ahead, Councilor Haskin. Sorry.
So, anyways, I didn't really pick up where it said we would not be, our road staff would not be doing the work. Does say there could be a tender put out for something or other, but anyways, I'm kind of more leaning to be in favor of, especially with the Deerfield, we've been talking with them now for years, and you weren't on council then, Dave, but yes, you talk with a group like that, and you keep saying, oh yes, we're, you know, yeah, our road crew can do it. And Greg's been talking to them, and to the point of almost when they had their hopes up of might, something might happen later this year, that whether I would lean toward, if that's still a possibility in Greg's schedule, that is what is done with Deerfield. What happens after Deerfield, I'm up for discussion on that, but I just feel that we have been leading these people along, that that's what would happen. And they know darn well that it's probably going to save them a fair chunk of money. And they argue that the work may be done better or not. Well, going by other comments I heard, it sounds like Greg knows what he's doing. He does good work, so we could probably go that route. So my feeling is on this, that I'm still mixed on how to go on this motion, but I still lean with Deerfield, that if it works into Greg's schedule and the figures, that if they're agreeable to the figure, and we get all the proper agreements filled out, is also mentioned on this motion, that it is an option that our road staff does the upgrading on that road. That's my feeling on it.
Okay, we have a long agenda ahead of us. So any other comments on this resolution?
Just one more thing. And because one of the individuals that was here, basically the leader of the Deerfield group, felt that this resolution wasn't maybe he didn't agree with it or something, so I would lean a little bit. It would have been nice to have him here and say, okay, what is there about this?
I asked him that.
Right, and what was his comment then?
He talked about the legal agreement, that it shouldn't be a solicitor. We should be drawing it up, which I totally disagree with. We're not professionals to draw this. We can give information to the people drawing it up, but we shouldn't be doing it. That's where we've run into problems in the past, by attempting to do it locally.
There is an issue with item 11. I know they're not numbered again, but where we said all costs associated with procurement of said engineer and solicitor for the preparation and administration of the tender documents and process shall be paid up front by the township, with the understanding that said costs will form part of the future cost sharing agreement as agreed between the landowners and the township. As long as there's an agreement, and this kind of implies that that would be after it was done. In other words, that
this would be up front.
Okay.
It's in the agreement who pays what.
Okay.
And Councilor Zulak already referred to the 15% that the township came up with on McKellar Lake Road. They own property in their time. They paid by frontage. But there was also a situation where it was sent out to a contractor, and the township at the time, that was in 86, I think, agreed that off the top we'll pay 15%. And so that's the cost sharing that might go into the agreement.
Okay.
If council agrees with that. Once you get a total cost, then you decide, okay,
what portion will we pay?
What portion, yeah. And okay, that's when you have other ratepayers coming forward that they alluded to tonight, saying that why are my tax dollars going? But anyway, that's a possibility, and that was tried and true method with McKellar Lake Road.
How long ago?
That was in 86.
Okay.
That was the actual document, but I think it was probably done in 87, 88. And then they even set it up. It was all done through the township again, and this alluded to by Councillor Zulak. The township is taking on the responsibility of getting all this organized. The association, I know you work together and you have a spokesperson, et cetera, but it's much easier to go through the council, through the staff and the township, and they can coordinate everything. And it was all done by property at that time, because it was based on frontage. All the property owners were listed, all the frontages were listed, the assessed value of the property as well, and then it all agreed that this is the amount that you pay. And it was all broken down, and they were given options of how many years to pay as well. And I think at that point, it went up to 25, 30 years, but that seems a bit long for us, even if it depends, I guess, on the total that it comes to. But I'm just saying it's tried and true, it has worked, and they even set up a court of revision afterwards, so that people who felt that they were unjustly being charged because of the frontage or something, or maybe they weren't even on the road, they were just on the roll. And so they were able to come through a court of revision and ask for a reduction, just as you can now, in different situations.
Who
so
sits on the court of revision? Who would sit on
that's decided, usually it's lay people, it's not the
okay
council itself.
Okay. Okay.
And people with some experience similar to
okay
what they do.
That's an appropriate safeguard for sure,
yeah.
I mean, to make sure that people are not unjustly being
yes
collect the charge for things, but You don't have it in the resolution at the moment, at least I don't think so anyhow.
Well, no, because it's not a local improvement situation.
Okay.
That's the way it would be done then.
Okay.
And they actually have that in there, so
okay.
That's a possibility down the road, but that would have to be part of the agreement, whatever you come up with.
I think, I mean, to paraphrase Dave, I mean, he's simply looking for input into the legal agreement prior to it being drawn. I mean, does that cause anybody any grief?
Not me.
No?
You have to have each side of an agreement, you know, participating in the formation of the agreement.
Okay.
So.
But in even drafting it after a fashion, maybe not the exact words, but at least the principle of what we're trying to do, right? In other words, in advance, not being presented with a document, here you have to sign this. I think
that's...
Oh,
yeah. Have input. Yeah,
okay.
That's the whole idea. Yeah.
Okay.
And just a little side note, if we can have some type of clarification on where things are at with Bailey's and Craigmore and get them sorted out, because it seemed to me tonight they thought that this resolution before us was going to be applicable to them with forming a legal opinion and drafting up a legal I don't know who instigated that narrative, but we were discussing one thing here tonight and it seemed like it totally went off the rails. So,
well, the resolution itself references Deerfield and Bay, that's all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to send out some type of clarification regarding Bailey's and Craigmore to, you know, basically to say that things, you know, where things are at and are we on track.
Yeah.
It seemed like they felt there was going to be a total change of the agreement. Nothing has changed.
No, we still have some work, certainly. Not so much Bailey with Bailey's, but certainly with Craigmore. We're trying to get a test to that. I think we have to resolve that situation. But
we're all clear that all the Bailey's people have selected a payment option and have settled with the township on those payments. Is that accurate?
Well, again, I just need, that's why I say we research, look at the evidence, because I have no proof of that. I'm just hearsay tonight that everybody's done that. I haven't seen any documents.
Okay.
So that's all.
Okay. And Craigmore, to my knowledge, has not been done. But that's, again, I don't know anything to the contrary. And of course, it should have been done, should be done, will be done. And we're not arguing that and things like that. And again, my statement is just general, is that a lot of these things were evolving and were not well defined and can be improved on. That's my point of view of the whole thing here, simply that we can make this better and we can make it a standard and we can make it a repeatable model that works for other roads too. And again, that goes to the basic goal we have of assuming all of them, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I do worry that here, if I rely on the fifth one, which says council at its sole discretion, that one, now that refers, I guess, just to Schedule A. And but then we mentioned a hybrid solution to satisfy a cost-sharing option. I would just like to say that if we can either amend this resolution, perhaps, then to simply say that council can do that for any issues raised in this resolution, and just leave it to council to decide on those things as we go forward. In other words, I do think that this document presumes that we're going to use a contractor going forward, right, and that we're going to have engineers and we're going to have all those costs involved. And I don't, that's not necessarily wrong. All I'm saying is that I want there to be discretion for council to act on those based upon information at the moment, right?
Well, my understanding of the policy, and I do have it in front of me somewhere if I look for it, but throughout it says, unless council decides otherwise.
At council at its discretion, I think, is the phrase that's used most often.
And I see that throughout the document.
Okay.
So. You know, council can make an exception in
okay.
different cases, and I think that's right in the document. So,
and I would like to have it recorded in here that we will at least examine the changes proposed by legal counsel and our engineers and update the policy where it's considered appropriate by council. Because I do think we need to do that. You can't base it on a document that's flawed in the first place.
Well, I disagree that it's flawed, so...
I think you're just delaying, Nick. I think you're just delaying this process. We're trying to work with them and trying to get this moving. So the more things you throw in front there to, like, the roads bylaw, it took a long time to get that. So you're just...
That is not my intention, I'll say
no,
that.
No, but that's what will happen.
Okay.
You know what,
okay.
Just know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Where this here resolution, I believe, it's trying to get the process going, get it moving, get things in order, get your ducks in a row, if you want to call it, you know, and have your paper trails, And so that, you know, in the future, you have a template there to come back on.
Okay, then I don't need it to be like a condition or a statement in this resolution, but I mean, we do need to fix the roads policy. It's fun. It's wrong,
but,
period.
Okay, so that should be a separate discussion.
We can look at that. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's valid. Thank you for that comment. I appreciate that. That's a better way of thinking about it for sure. So, and it's not my intention to delay anything, so.
Okay, put this to a vote.
I haven't recorded those.
Oh, okay.
Councillor Morley Haspin.
With the comments being that
yes or no. we can't have any.
Yeah. Okay. I would. Overall, it's good. I'm just still concerned about this of the roads department doing the work for Deerfield. As long as that's still interpreted in there.
Okay, to be fair with protocol, I mean, we've asked for a vote now, and we've heard your comments, so.
Yeah. Vote on that.
We have a long agenda.
Okay. And I also, with no more, I would have liked to see it deferred and got comment from Dave from Deerfield, but I guess I should just vote against it. No.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen.
I'm not the only one stumbling.
I
don't
think he did hear you, did he? Okay.
It can always be brought back to the table, so yes.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
I would vote to defer it.
No. Well, I guess he's abstaining then, by the sounds of it.
Okay. Well, then no, I'll vote no.
Okay.
I had proposed that earlier in the conversation.
I know, but we're putting it to a vote now. Defer didn't seem to fly, so.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Yes.
Mayor David Moore.
Yes. Okay. 3 yeas, 2 nays. Carried.
Can I have a minute too, just for the record, not at the same moment in time?
I don't know.
I have no idea what I did with that letter from Russell Christie. I haven't gone anywhere. I
don't know. Oh, the brochure for St. Stephen's.
I should not.
What time's the game on tonight?
7 o'clock.
Pretty much over.
Are you checking the score?
Yes.
Yeah, my watch is
exactly
in a half hour. You watch in a half an hour, and I hate knowing in advance.
You can close your ears if you want.
No, I don't know.
There's 50 seconds left in the third period, and Florida's leading 4-2. So.
First game, okay.
No, if you can take over, that's great. Yeah. Excellent job.
holding it, hoping it won't go on for another hour, an hour.
You have some say in that.
Resolution 23-316, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the April 18th, 2023 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-317, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, whereas the Township of McKellar has received an application for the closure of a road allowance from Fern Harris on the lands being between Concession 5, Part Lots 33 and 34, and Registered Plan 42, R7404, Part 2, and Concession 4 and 5, Part Lots 33 and 34, Registered Plan 42R10940, Parts 1 and 2, District of Prairie Sound. And whereas a public meeting has been held on May the 2nd, 2023 to inform the public of the closure, and whereas no objections have been received to the road closing, now therefore be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support in principle the closure of the road allowance subject to the lands being surveyed by the applicant, and further be it resolved that the stop-up, close, and close bylaw be presented to Council after the survey is completed and a legal land description is assigned to ensure registration. Discussion?
So I just want to confirm that the mapping that was provided is the accurate length of what was requested. It just, you know, I thought it would have come to the lot line 34.
Okay, Carly can speak on that one.
Yeah, we can confirm that. So council is under the impression that the road allowance will come to the end of Hardy's Road. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, call the question then. All in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Resolution 23-318, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the draft conditions met letter for consent application number B33/2022 LeBlanc, and further authorize the letter to be signed and sent to the Secretary Treasurer of the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-319, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the March 9, 2023 meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-320, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the March 27th, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Public Library Board. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-321, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the opening results for RFP number PW-2023-08, St. Stephen's Church Foundation, And further, that the RFP not be awarded at this time. Discussion? Councilor Keggan?
I strongly am opposed to that resolution. This is being a project that has been in the works for quite a long time now. We have gone through this process and put in applications for funding several times throughout, say, the last few years, decade possibly, and never received any funding opportunity whatsoever. Previously, we had put out tenders for St. Stephen's and 2016 in May. There were two tenders that came in, one at $51,000 and one at $83,000. In December of 2016, it was put in as a joint type of a tender doing St. Stephen's and Hemlock. And one tender came in for $112,000 for the two of them. Another one came in just for St. Stephen's at $176,000.